West Coast College Training, July 4th through 11th, Occidental, California. Title, Christ Our Portion. Morning Session 2, Message 3. The All-Inclusive Shepherding Needed to Present Every Man Full-Grown in Christ. Scripture Reading, Colossians 1:24 through 29, Ephesians 4:13, and Hebrews 6:1b.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, let's all read the title of this whole line together and do all your clicking stuff real quick. Page 59, message 3. Amen. Come on, come on. While they're clicking? Okay, let's all read the title of the whole line together. Ready? Effective Gospel Preaching and Shepherding on College Campuses. And then the title of this message. The All-Inclusive Shepherding Needing to Present Every Man Full-Grown in Christ. Amen. Okay, we want to start it out. Me and Larry want to sing you a song. But you might know it. So if you know it, just sing along. But anyways.
This is based on 1 Thessalonians 2, 7, and 8.
We were gentle in your midst as a nursing mother would cherish her lone children.
We were gentle in your midst as a nursing mother would cherish her own children, yearning in this way over you. We were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own souls, because you became beloved to us.
Amen. Hallelujah. So this message is a hard one for us to prepare for. The title says, The All-Inclusive Shepherding Needed to Present Every Man Full-Grown in Christ.
Amen.
Okay, so raise your hand if you're all-inclusive. Okay, I'm glad nobody raised their hand. There's only one all-inclusive man, and this is the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So even from the very beginning, when we're talking about this subject, we want to have this viewpoint that it's a body matter.
Right.
It's not that I have to become all-inclusive, that you have to become all-inclusive, but we have to be one with our head, who is the all-inclusive one. And we need to be one with our other members to minister this all-inclusive shepherding to one another. Okay, so let's start out and read these verses. Get out your Bibles. And we're going to read Colossians 1:24 through 29. And we'll just go brothers, sisters. So we'll start with brothers on 1:24. Amen.
I now rejoice in my sufferings on your behalf and fill up on my part that which is lacking of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body, which is the church.
Of which I became a minister according to the stewardship of God.
Amen.
Which was given to me for you.
Amen.
To complete the word of God.
Amen. The mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from the generations, but now has been manifested to his saints.
To whom God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen. Teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man full grown in Christ.
For the honor of my labor,
Amen. So we really enjoyed the first two messages in this line. The first message was talking about how college is a precious time. And it's the best time to gain new ones, right? And you are the best ones to do it. So we just hope that everyone is really encouraged and burdened not to waste the college years and to take every opportunity to preach the gospel on your campuses and gain new ones. And the second message we really enjoyed, that we must intercede in twos and threes and persevere in prayer to bear fruit. So this is really good. This is already showing us that it's a body matter and that we do it together. We do it with lots of prayer and we intercede for people. And so this message, we get to what happens after they get saved. You know, anyways, me and Brother Larry, we both have young children, very young children. And so, you know, my wife would tell you that life was easier before the child came out of the womb. It was, I don't know, a lot of moms say that, you know. So there's a laboring part, right, which is we preach the gospel, we need to get people saved. And that's a labor, it's a lot of work. But after they come out, after you have the little baby, they need constant care. They need care all the time. They need, you know, when a little baby comes out, you know, you got to make sure they learn how to eat. They make sure they're healthy. Sometimes they even have to go to intensive care, right? Because there's all kinds of things. So when we bear fruit, then actually sometimes I think we get somebody saved and then there's sort of a sigh of relief, you know. Oh, good. We got him saved, you know, and then we'll see you next week, you know. But actually, you know, the enemy's going to come in and attack, you know. And, you know, they need constant care. And so I think this is a point where all of us lack, you know, this kind of care that's so, you know, when we get to point A, we'll see it's a progressive care, a continual care, and a gradual care. So let's read Roman numeral 1 together. To shepherd people, we need to follow Paul's pattern of being a faithful minister according to the stewardship of God, laboring to present every man full grown in Christ. Amen. So we'll get back to that other analogy. But the couple of verses listed here, 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, here, furthermore, it is sought in stewards that one be found faithful. Okay? So that's one of the key words there is we are stewards. And a steward is basically a slave, right? And the number one attribute of a slave is to be faithful. Whatever the master says, you know, whatever the needs of the house are, that they would be faithful. And then Colossians 1:25 says, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship of God, which was given to me for who? For you. So, you know, you guys are all college students. We're all growing ourselves, right? We're not full grown. Is anyone full grown in here in life, ready to be raptured? None of us, right? So that's another thing. When we were preparing this message, you know, we realized that a lot of you guys are still being shepherded and serving ones and all the way up are being shepherded in life ourselves. But at the same time, we're learning how to shepherd others and bring them into the same things that we're in. So this kind of life is a to me for you. So we're not just here to, you know, become spiritual and mature ourselves and look at me, I'm so great, you know. That's good. I mean, we need to do that. But at the same time, we need to be having ones under our care and learn to have a heart for others. This is the life we've received. And just like the seeker in the Song of Songs, you know, he said, while she was seeking her beloved, she said, he told her to go shepherd the goats. And Brother Lee said, we need to have little goats to care for. While we're seeking the Lord ourselves, we have to have little goats to care for. And that's sort of the subject of this first Roman numeral is the matter of shepherds. And that's what we are, is just shepherds. You know, there's a flock, there's the church, there's new ones, there's unbelievers. And our job is to shepherd them. And in the reading you guys have, it says, shepherding is a proper care exercised over the flock. The flock needs to be cared for, protected, and led in the right direction. They need to be brought to a place where they can eat and drink. This is shepherding, okay? So, what? They need to be cared for. They need to be protected. You know, things come in, you know. If you guys have, I mean, you guys, I'm sure all of you had this experience, you know. You're caring for a new one, and then something comes in, the enemy comes in, and you're like, oh no, there's like a desperation, right? And you need to pray that they would be protected and then led in the right direction, and then especially to be led to eat and drink. Our main job is to help, to be stewards, to help them to receive this divine life that we've received. Bring these sheep, these new ones, to eat and drink. So let's read A together. How about sisters? Amen. So this is a progressive, right, and continual and gradual process. And that's something I think we're, even as full-timers, we're still learning how to be so constant and continual in our care. It's easy to get discouraged. Something happens and I give up on this one, they got a girlfriend or something, or, this thing happened, or they joined this other Christian group, or whatever it is, they got poisoned. Lots of things can happen, but we don't give up on them. Actually, we have to be so continual. We have to have such a heart. Okay, and then how about brothers on B?
The role of our shepherding is to minister Christ to men, that they might become perfect, full in quality, and complete, full in quantity, by maturing with Christ unto full growth.
Amen. So, I didn't read the verses on Acts, but those are really good verses about Paul's heart for people. Especially, I like Acts 20:31. It says, "Therefore watch, remembering that for 3 years, night and day, I did not cease admonishing each one with tears." And that shows how much of a heart Paul had for the believers, How many of us have shepherded people in tears? He said for 3 days, 3 years, day and night. Wow, and Paul, to me, I think Paul's a great example because he's such a tough guy. Paul was murdering people before he got saved, right? Helping them to be murdered. That was, but yet Paul could have this kind of a heart that he could shepherd day and night with tears, And he also calls himself a nursing mother. That's those verses that we sang. He's a nursing mother. I mean, how many guys want to call themselves a nursing mother? It's not manly, but it's maybe not really glorious, taking care of a baby's not glorious, but we have a viewpoint. That's the thing. On point B, our goal is to present every man full grown in Christ.
Amen.
So, we're not just here to take care of people and make sure they get to the meeting or whatever it is. Our goal is to help them to do all these things so that they can become full grown in Christ. And that would be, I would say that's every parent's goal for their kids. They'd be functioning adults, normal, in the church life, hopefully, you want to be functioning in the church life, all these things. This is every parent's goal. So we have to have that viewpoint too, the long-term viewpoint. Our goal is to present every man full grown in Christ. So it takes a lot of care for that. So I think at this point we wanted to have the first sister share. Yeah, right here. And then she can share her experience real quick.
Thank the Lord for shepherding.
Amen.
In my second year of college, we had our first Bible distribution on campus. And out of all the Bibles that we distributed and the names that we collected, there was one that responded that wanted to have a Bible study.
Amen.
She was a sister. My companion and I were the ones who were given, the privilege to meet with this one. And we had never taken care of a new one before. And I remember before our Bible study, I was before our full-timer, and I said, I don't know what to do. What are we going to do with this new one? But praise the Lord, we met with her on campus for a semester. And then the next semester, she was going off campus because of her clinicals, because she was in nursing. And so because of that, we were like, oh no, we can't have Bible studies with her anymore. But then we asked, can we come over to your house? Can we have dinner with you and read the Bible with you at your place? And so we did that for another semester. But then she got a roommate. And so when she had a roommate, that wasn't convenient. So then we started to invite her to our house, to my house, and to the other saints' homes, just to have dinner and to read maybe some verses with her. And that continued for a while. And then eventually we were able to lead her into some of the ministry. We were able to bring her into the life studies and Amen. Even into the Friday night home meeting. And then after meeting for a while in the home meeting, she came to the Lord's table meeting.
Amen.
And now she's prophesied at least 4 times. Amen. And she meets regularly with the saints. Amen. And she's been joined to many of the homes. I would just encourage you all, you need to take up this burden to shepherd others.
Amen.
Don't think that you're not qualified.
Amen.
That is how I felt at the beginning. I felt that I had no idea what to do. But if we pick up the burden for people, the Lord is faithful to supply us.
Amen.
And we need to realize that we are here as stewards.
Amen.
And as stewards, everything that we receive is not just for ourselves.
Amen.
Everything is to me for you.
Amen.
Saints, you have to realize that the portion that is within you is to be shared.
Amen.
When we come to the meetings, when we are supplied regularly, we have a supply that the other people need.
Amen.
So we just need to be found faithful. We need to be those who receive the portion from our wonderful Lord, and we need to minister this Christ to all the people that we contact.
Amen.
In this way, we can render to them such a shepherding that they would be brought full grown in Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's a really good example of this kind of care that's so constant, you know, even to meet the need wherever the need is, right? They went to her house for a while, and then that wasn't available anymore, so then they had to bring her over to their house, and then they brought him to the home meetings, and then they helped him to grow. All these things, it's a really dynamic sort of thing, and it really requires us even a giving up of our soul life, you know, to care for them. It's not always convenient, you know. It's not convenient to go and visit people. It's not convenient to have them and cook dinner for them. All these things, but this is the kind of care it requires. So let's read Roman numeral 2 together, right here. To present every man full grown in Christ requires us to render an all-inclusive tender care and to pay attention to the inward condition of their heart, the progress of their growth in life, and their participation in services. So, here again, we have the goal. And we have this word all-inclusive again, and then it adds this word tender care. And I just want to emphasize this tender care, because I think this is something that we still need to learn how to have, and we need to pray that we would have this kind of tender care. And there's this book, The Normal Way of Fruit-Bearing and Shepherding for the Building Up of the Church, and there's a couple of quotes in here that are just kind of, Brother Lee was very, he didn't hold back. He said, this is in a session called Learning to be Interested in People. He says, because of the fall, many of us are not interested in others. We consider that whether others go to heaven or hell is their own business. We do not care whether others grow in life, and we feel that it is sufficient for us to care for our own spiritual welfare. However, a church service requires every one of us to be involved with others. We need an interest in the Lord's people. And so, I don't know, these are really striking quotes, and I'm just going to read a couple more. But we have to have an interest in people. And then, so, of course, you say, well, what if I don't have an interest in people? Well, he says, we all should pray. Okay, that's the key right there. Pray in your twos and threes.
Amen.
You know, okay, it says, pray, Lord, burden me. I want to be fully interested in and involved with all your dear saints, not in a natural or social way, but in the way of life. Lord, I'm willing to pay any price, even at the cost of my life. I love these people, and I would die for them. I want to see them saved, grow in life, and become matured. So, and this sounds kind of extreme, right? Wow, die for them at the cost of my life. Wow, do we have that kind of care? That's where I would come back to this picture of being a parent, right? Which is what Paul uses. When you're a parent, I got 2 boys, you know, almost 3 and almost 1. And I would die for those boys. You know, if something was going to, like a truck was coming, or I mean, whatever it is, you know, he's going to fall off something, I would die for those boys. I mean, there's just a love. And I think, and every parent would say the same thing, you know. And I think that's why we need to bear fruit, you know, because we need, that's how even we get a care. Because when it's our baby, you know, we do everything. We do everything to care for them. You know, my wife stays up late nights, you know, sometimes doesn't get any sleep to care for babies, right? So this kind of care is because, you know, there are fruit. So we need to bear fruit, and then we need to love them even the cost of our life. So anyways, this is sort of, don't be discouraged. This is just, we're not there. We're not there. But this is the goal. I mean, I think it resonates with all of us because we realize that when, as maybe church kids growing up in the church life or new ones on the campus or whatever, wherever our story was, we realize that we respond to ones that care for us. You know, to the ones that we can open up to, that we could go to and tell them, you know, something or open to them and they won't judge us, you know? We can all think about people like that in our life that really shepherded us. And it wasn't so much someone that spoke a really, you know, awesome ministry something. It was the ones that loved us. So anyways, okay, just a couple other quotes. He says, if we are do not have an interest in people, we are finished with the church service. We are not qualified to serve. We should not say that only Apostle Paul could be like this. What the apostle did is an example for all the believers. We are not apostles, but we should still be nursing mothers. Even the brothers must nourish others as a mother. And sisters should exhort others as a father. Anyways, I think that's enough there. There is no way that works if we do not care for and have an interest in people. But it says, on the converse, however, if we do have a care and interest, the care itself will open up a way. And then there's some other quotes that from the life study. It just says, we don't need power, eloquence, knowledge, but concern is really what we need, is concern for people. That's in the next point. But anyways, I just really appreciate it. And even he goes on to say that if we don't have a heart for people, he won't give us fruit. He won't answer our prayers for fruit because we don't have a heart for people. And if you think about that, he wouldn't give us a baby if we're going to let the baby die, right? So anyways, even to answer our prayers in the twos and threes, we need to really pray that we would have a heart for others. Okay, so at this point, I want to have Matt come up and share a little portion real quick.
Well, my concept and previous experience in shepherding people is like Rambo, you know. I go through the world, I go to my classes, I rescue this one with all the spiritual ammo. I will defeat the enemy, you know, all the frustration, and bring them all the way to the church life. I tried and I failed. This past semester, there was a very positive brother, a positive experience I want to share with you all. Well, in the beginning, this person, well, in this case, there were five brothers, were closely involved on top of all the players from the brothers and the students, among the students. First, the first brother, the student, he met this new brother, Sean, on campus at the table, and he brought Sean to the college meeting that night, prayed with him, and saved Sean. Then another, the second brother, a full-timer, he started having Bible studies on campus with Brother A on campus, getting to the Book of John, to see Christ as life, meeting Sean's every need.
Amen.
I'm not only the third brother. I didn't have too much burden for him. I was taking the other brother at the time, but because I live close to where he lives, I started bringing him to my home meeting. And in my home meeting, I have the fourth and fifth brother. Those two brothers are a little older, they're more experienced, and they're more constituted with the word.
Amen.
They're able to present truth in an experiential way, an accurate way. One of the brothers also speaks that brother's mother tongue, so he will explain and really explain a lot of things. So through all these brothers, our fellowship, our prayer, care for this one, eventually Sean started coming to the Lord's Table meeting, and Sean was baptized.
Amen.
So I'm by myself, by individual, we are all very inadequate to provide all-inclusive care, but especially for the students, I'm just a face of this organism among these brothers, among the students, to take care of this one. I befriend him. We become close together so that he would open up to me and I would just help him. But, oh Lord, make sure I'm full-grown in Christ.
Amen.
Okay, maybe the other group. Amen.
Hallelujah. For the all-inclusiveness.
Amen.
We can't do it by ourselves.
Amen.
In college, I was enjoying the Lord, and I couldn't help but speak to my friends. And one of my friends, she opened up. And by her opening it up, I was shared with her a little bit more about God. And I was afraid of what to share. But fortunately, another brother had told me, you need to don't be... Don't be what is it, Lord Jesus, don't be afraid to speak. Don't give them just a little pieces. You need to give them your whole portion, whatever you enjoy. So I shared with her, but I knew I couldn't do it alone. So I said, oh Lord, you know what? How wonderful would it be if she came to a prayer meeting, a New Year prayer meeting? And I prayed with my parents, I fellowshiped with my parents, and I fellowshiped with my sister. And hallelujah, she came. And we just had a burden that she would have a baptism. So I just prayed, Lord, baptize her. And fortunately, by meeting my sister and the Irvine sisters meeting her as well, and also my parents meeting her, they're also praying for her baptism. Hallelujah for this corporate prayer. And it's not. And my parents are in Northern California. She's in Irvine, and my friend, she's in Garden Grove. So you know, these are all separate places, and I'm in Huntington Beach. So everywhere, but hallelujah, there's a universal prayer.
Amen.
Actually, I was really enjoying the verse of Colossians 1:28. It says, we may present every man full-grown in Christ.
Amen.
It doesn't say, I may present every man full-grown in Christ. But
Amen.
Actually,
oh, wow.
For this all-inclusive shepherding, it takes me. It takes the entire body. So actually, this dear sister, the prayer meeting on New Year's was her very first meeting. And when my brother had asked if she could come, I really went before the Lord to prepare my being, and also to pray, Lord, I never met her before. I said, Lord, what about this one? You know, and hallelujah. Then the Lord touched me in that time to invite them both over for dinner before the prayer meeting. So in that time during dinner, after we had it, we had some time for singing, and I told her that, you know, the Lord doesn't want us to do any work for him. He just wants us to love him.
Amen.
So when we went to the prayer meeting, the entire time she was there, I just heard her saying, Lord Jesus, I love you.
Wow.
And after that, immediately, she started going to the Lord's table with my brother who lived near her. And then also, she got into the morning revival.
Amen.
And it was really sweet. And we began praying for her baptism. A lot of prayer went into it. And by the Lord's arrangement, she came to a college meeting in Irvine. And in Irvine, the brother specifically spoke about baptism. And the following week was on the college conference. And I just knew the Lord was preparing her for baptism. So I prayed with my vital companion in a strong way. And I prayed with my small group for her baptism. And that day, and then also what happened is I invited her over for hospitality. I said, you need to come over and I open to the Lord. You need to open up a time where we can have fellowship with her about baptism. And the Lord arranged the time, and she turned to me the next day, and the brother speaking in the message, she's like, Grace, I want to be baptized.
Amen.
And so she was baptized, and then hallelujah, now we're meeting with her, and now she's burdened for her family to be saved.
Hallelujah.
And so she's interested in the church and the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
So we're reading together the history of the church and the local
wow.
churches. And actually, by the Lord's arrangement, my brother and I, the Lord is migrating us to the city where she lives. And I believe this is to continue in a practical way to shepherd her.
Amen.
Shepherd her family into the church life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Wow.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So I don't have much more to say. That was pretty awesome. Just illustrate the kind of care that we need to have for people. Wow, migrating. Awesome. So anyways, this is this tender care and this concern. Let's read point A together real quick. In cherishing and nourishing people, we must first be concerned about the condition of their hearts and ask the Lord for the grace to comfort all the distracted, dissatisfied, and disappointed hearts. Amen. So, you know, there's so many distracted, there's so many disappointed, there's so many dissatisfied people out there. Actually, that goes for everyone that's not a believer, right? And even a lot of believers are dissatisfied because they haven't found the place where there's the genuine building up of the body of Christ. So we just need to have this kind of a heart to care for people. And so I'm not trying to condemn anyone, or because we're all speaking to ourselves, you know. We just need to pray that we'd have this kind of heart. And we're going to have one more testimony, and then Brother Larry is going to talk about practically how we can, more ways that we can have this kind of a heart. Amen. So let's have Brother Aaron come up real quick. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Right, in this case, like, I was more of the shepherdee than the shepherder. Just like when I came to campus, like, I was a believer, but I was one that had such a heart that was very dissatisfied, distracted, and very disappointed. I was overall very confused and very disillusioned. But the very first day on campus, you know, the Lord led me to the table where I was connected to various brothers and full-timers. And, you know, just as you nourish a new one like you would an infant to maturity, I mean, just you would do the same to nourish a hurt one back to health.
Yeah. Amen.
Eventually, they started contacting me for Bible studies, eventually building me up to come to the homes, and eventually just coming to the Lord's table. And now here I am today at the summer college training.
Hallelujah.
And overall, it wasn't just a job to just like fulfill their quota or just go through their phones. But it was a very genuine and intimate relationship, like that of family away from family. And that may sound a little weird or awkward, but that is a relationship very much in Christ. Or in Matthew chapter 12, 49 and 50. Verse 49 and 50, and stretching out his hand towards his disciples, he said, "Behold, my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father who is in the heavens, he is my brother and sister and mother."
Amen.
Not to have them replace my immediate family, but to have that same genuine, intimate relationship.
Amen.
So, praise the Lord. So, just don't go after those new ones and look after those, but go after those hurt ones as
yeah.
well. Because they need that same care
yeah.
and comfort.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. There are a lot of people who need care. And I think we're all being impressed through this message that the stewardship that we have received is not just a low-level stewardship. We're not, you know, we're enjoying Christ as our portion. And we've been inspired to share this with others. But our stewardship is all-inclusive. Amen. And long-term. I really appreciate what my brother Jonah shared. You know, we're not just begetting babies. You know, our stewardship and our commission, you know, and I really appreciated what Grace shared, that what we are doing, we are presenting every man full grown in Christ.
Amen.
This is our stewardship, and this is our commission. And I really appreciated that first we need to start out with a heart of love, the heart of a parent. And I think Brother Jonah brought that out very well. You know, why would I change diapers? You know, I've never changed a diaper until I had a baby. You know, why would I do that? Why would I go through so much trouble and do something like that? Because I love him. My little son, he needs a diaper change. I'll do it. But it starts with love. I mean, why would we care for these ones, lose our soul? We have to love them. But love alone, while basic and critical, does not bring someone to maturity. There's a lot of wisdom and consideration that is needed to bring someone from being a newborn, even humanly, being a newborn to being an adult, functioning in society. You know, we'll see, you know, that on the side of life, that there are a lot of things that they would be healthy. They need to learn how to eat. You know, that's one of the most trying things for new parents, to teach their child how to eat.
Amen.
That's a real suffering. You lose your soul life. You have to do a lot of things you never thought you would do. but you have to help them to eat. If they don't eat, they won't be healthy. They have to sleep. You know, you think, you know, that expression, you sleep like a baby. Actually, I hope you don't sleep like a baby because they don't sleep very well. You know, but you have to train them to sleep. I mean, if they don't sleep, they are not going to be happy. Actually, the crankiest babies are the ones that don't sleep well. You know, then later you have to teach them how to exercise, brush their teeth, maybe bathe. You know, all these things are basic things for their health. But also, even that alone does not suffice for their being a functioning member in society. They have to learn. You know, their ABCs, their 1, 2, 3s. You have to develop their character to be diligent, to be responsible, finish a task, hold a job. You have to train even their, how they interact with people. Say please, say thank you, say I'm sorry, you know, shake hands, whatever. So many things in a very detailed way that goes into our shepherding. And we'll see that in the spiritual realm, it's the same thing. Maybe we can read point B together. In shepherding people, we must help the young ones to cultivate a personal life with the Lord, as well as providing them with a rich entrance into the body life, in the church life. And I would say this point is for their health. For a believer to be healthy, we need to have these two aspects of our Christian life. Firstly, we need to have a personal life with the Lord. And maybe let's have the brothers read point one. Every Christian should have a life that is deeply rooted in Christ, a hidden life before God, having a personal time with Him in the morning, a regular prayer time in secret, a healthy appetite for the word and the ministry, and in material offering. Maybe everyone who knows Colossians 2, 6 and 7, maybe we can just recite that up to being rooted in Him. Therefore, you have received the Christ, Jesus the Lord. Walk in Him, having been rooted. Okay, rooted. Okay, that's my point. So the walk is based upon having been rooted.
Amen.
And that's not a one-time thing, but what we need for ourselves and to shepherd new ones, the ones that we're caring for, the ones that we've begotten through the gospel, we need to learn how to shepherd them into having a personal life with the Lord. And here, there are four things in this point one, you know, about being deeply rooted in Christ. Is this matter of having a hidden life before God, of having a personal time with Him in the morning. And I would say this is not an easy thing to shepherd someone into having a personal time with the Lord. I think a lot of us, we have been shepherded into having a corporate time with the Lord in the morning, right? Who enjoys having a corporate time with the Lord in the morning? You know, amen, right? Isn't that good?
Amen.
It's good to, but it's not the root. You know, one brother said, you know, having a corporate morning time is good, but having a personal time is crucial. And another brother compared it and said, the corporate morning time, it's like the cherry. It goes on top of something. But the personal time with the Lord, it's the cake. You know, you can't put the cherry anywhere until you have the cake. You know, the icing on top, whatever you want to say. So being shepherded into having a personal time with the Lord in the morning. This is something that I think we're still learning for ourselves and for the ones under our care. And I want Titus to share his experience of being shepherded into having a personal time with the Lord.
So, yeah, like Larry is saying, you know, we wonder, how do you bring someone to have a personal time with the Lord? You know, I realized, you know, oh, you know, I was shepherded at one time to have a personal time with the Lord. And, you know, I think one day in my second year, a full-timer came up to me. He's like, hey, you know, why don't we, this Thursday morning, have a personal time together? You know, I was wondering, you know, maybe personal time together. It's kind of like an oxymoron, right? But anyways, I showed up on Thursday morning at 7:30, bright and early. And then the full-timer said, okay, Titus, you're going to be here. I'm going to go over to this other room on the other side of the meeting hall, and we're going to have personal time with the Lord. And so we did. And it's actually kind of interesting. When, you know, for him, he was on the other side of the meeting hall, but he was actually kind of loud. So I could hear him. So I couldn't really focus. I was like, man, how much is that personal time? So anyways, I learned how to be audible with the Lord and how to speak to the Lord in an audible way. But anyways, I appreciate, you know, this continued on a weekly basis. And, you know, sometimes he'd be late, sometimes I would be late. But anyways, I felt it was very encouraging for both of us to come together and have our personal time together. And eventually this continued for about 6 months or a year. I can't remember. What was I going to say? It's 6 months. Oh, yeah. And then so it was 6 months to a year, right? And we talk about forming habits. Well, sometimes on Wednesday night, you know, I forget to set my alarm for 7:30. But anyways, on Thursday morning, for some reason, I was up by 7:25. And, you know, I would think to myself, you know, why am I up at 7:30? You know, class doesn't start until 10. But anyways, you know, it's like, oh, morning revival. So, you know, I appreciate, you know, in this way, you know, I was able to have this morning time with the Lord. And eventually, you know, with Northern California and God-ordained training, this solidified into an everyday sort of thing. But, you know, I still appreciate that time that we had on Thursday mornings. I felt like this was, you know, this is the way I entered into, I had a rich entrance into having this time with the Lord.
Amen.
And it's really easy, you know. I had a pattern. And in this, you know, in the same way, we can be patterns. Right. We build up this personal time with the Lord, we immediately can be ones who shepherd. It's very easy. You know, we just hold this pattern and we, diligently, you know, go to the new one and have this time with them or something, whatever the Lord leads you to do. But, anyways, you don't have to be a full-timer to do it.
Yeah.
To shepherd new ones in this way.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Wow. Amen. That was very good, huh? I think a lot of us have the skill of bringing someone into a corporate morning time, but I think we can learn something from this. If we want the ones that we're caring for to grow to maturity, we need to shepherd them into this root time with the Lord. Don't have a cherry without a cake. All right. So then other points on here, the regular prayer time in secret. And I would say even this healthy appetite for the Word and the ministry. While Joan and I were fellowshipping, we realized, you know, you can give someone a fish in two different ways. You can, you know, bring them a fish every day or teach them how to go out and fish themselves. I think many times we're in the habit of fish delivery. You know, we just bring a fish to somebody every day and it's good. We need to learn how to enjoy fish and deliver fish. But eventually, you know, if we want the ones under our care to grow, we need to teach them and give them a healthy appetite for the Lord in the Word and in the ministry. That they would not just read with us, but even in their own room by themselves, they would read. And the best way to do this, I say, is just to be a pattern of this yourself. You know, ask the Lord, Lord, give me a healthy appetite for your Word and for the ministry. And then when people come in contact with you, they'll know, what do you love? The Word and the ministry. And they will love that too. Oh Lord, and even this matter of material offering. We don't talk about this very much. It's a tough one to touch, you know. But, you know, everybody knows the verses in Matthew 6, you know, you go pray in secret, the Father in secret will reward you, and all that. But just before that, actually, it talks about giving your alms in secret. The Father who sees in secret will reward you. And that's part of our hidden root life with the Lord. And I'm not going to ask anybody, and I'm not going to tell anybody. But we need to learn somehow how to shepherd, you know, the ones that are in our care to have this consideration. You know, and it's not just a matter of financial need or the church needs money, but we need to be saved from mammon. This is part of the full salvation that we need to experience, and the ones under our care need to experience. We don't need their money. We need them. The Lord needs their heart, but their heart is tied to money. So we need to shepherd them to be delivered from mammon. But this is a hidden thing that they need to learn to deal with before the Lord. Okay, point two. Let's have the sisters read this. Because Christ's life... Amen. Okay, so here in this point, we see that the life that we have received, the life that the ones under our care have received, it's a body life. It's a corporate life. And for this life to grow and to develop, they need to be shepherded into the body life. And on this point,
here, a healthy habit of fellowshipping with the saints. And here, I want to say this, fellowshipping with the saints. Not just with the student saints, but with the saints. And I appreciated that in a lot of the testimonies that came out so far, by bringing the ones that were under their care into fellowshipping with the saints, the community saints, the full-timers, the ones in their home meeting, you could see there was an all-inclusive, tender care that was able to be rendered to them, and they were able to grow. So we ourselves need to enter into fellowshipping not just with the students, but learn how to draw the portion of all the saints and receive that all these different portions that will help us to grow. We lead the ones under our care into this. And also this matter of attending various church meetings. Prayer meeting, that wouldn't be the first meeting I would have thought of, but that worked, you know. For some, you know, they need to be in a prayer meeting. For some, they need to be in a home meeting. For some, they need to get to a conference. And we need to see what various meetings that meet their need and help them to grow. And of course, for this, we ourselves need to be the first ones. You can't tell someone to go to a meeting that you're not in. You know, that, you know, what's that proverb, you know, do what I say, not what I do? That doesn't work. We all know that. You know, if we want to shepherd people into these meetings, we got to be there. And this is not just for our duty, but for our health and for the health of the ones under our care. And I think Seth has something to share about this.
So he's having you join all the students speaking?
It's really yeah.
Encouraging.
So. Yeah.
It gets us away from maybe the outline to maybe, wow, this actually applies to me. So I really enjoyed being the receiving, being a shepherdy also. I really enjoyed Aaron sharing, especially. I was on the other side of that. I was seeking, but I grew up in a Christian household, and I didn't know anything of the body life. Never heard that term, never experienced that term, nothing like that. And very individualistic. And when I came into the church life, it was so sweet to be with the saints at any time, you know, especially in the meetings, different meetings, you know, come to the home, a home in college. I live in a college town, so that's really, that's a treat. And so, you know, and so all these meetings is good to go to and just be with others, be with those. You know, it was very superficial when I had been in Christianity, even if when we met, there was nothing of the Spirit, but there were these ones that were truly pursuing. Saints, you guys know the ministry so well. You know the word so well. You've been constituted your whole lives. This is a great, great blessing to minister to those that, you know, you can share so much. Anyways, so, and I really especially enjoy the matter of fellowshipping. You know, when you come into the church life like me, 3 years ago I came to church life, and, you know, I was just like, Lord, you know, I'm pretty good. I'm off, you know, doing my own things. Like, I'm a pretty good Christian, you know, but that meant nothing. I found out. And, you know, as I was pursuing the Lord, you know, touching the word more, getting in the ministry, I realized just a deep sense, I just couldn't touch the Lord so sweetly without another brother.
Wow.
You know, just another older, even an older saint, a serving one. I really needed to touch the body.
Yeah.
It just wasn't sweet anymore. Like, the Lord was really showing me the body.
Wow.
And when I touched the body, man, I was overcoming. I was victorious. I could be in my spirit all day. You know, it was so sweet. It's just like, I don't know, I've had a situation this summer where it's been a hard time finding work. So what do? I spend my time with the saints. You know, a brother calls me up. He's like, hey, brother, help me paint my, you know, my fence, or, you know, help me, you know, do these things. And we just fellowship all day. And it's so sweet.
Amen.
You know, I can give myself to the body. You know, I'm not so independent anymore.
Yeah.
That's just such a great salvation. So praise the Lord. We can shepherd new ones to getting out of themselves, out of their, you know, their habit, and then they come and meet with you for an hour. You know, no, we really need to be able to shepherd them, to bring them in so that they just have this deep sense in them. Lord, I need the body.
Wow.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Wow, that's so good, huh? It's really clear that to be a healthy believer, you need to be attached to the body. And so if we want the ones that are under our care, we don't want to just be meeting with them one-on-one on the campus, just thinking that we're all-inclusive and tender, you know, trying to give them care. You know, we need to bring them, attach them to the body. There, they get the all-inclusive care, all the portions, and they can be so healthy. Okay, so now we make the transition into point C, and this is on the side of function, I would say. You know,
health is for function. I mean, it's nice to, you know, be healthy and stuff, but eventually, I mean, you got to do something with your life, you know? You know, if you raise kids and then become adults, if they don't get a job, then they don't do anything with their life. The parents still feel like you're not growing up yet, you know? You got to do something with your life. And in the church life, what are we doing? We're building up the body of Christ.
Amen.
We're presenting every man full grown in Christ.
Amen.
So I'll just read point C. We must be faithful to shepherd every man to take part both in priestly, which is spiritual, and Levitical, practical services. So the function in the church life, the spiritual side and the practical side, and both, we need to be in both, and we need to shepherd the ones under our care into both. If we want them to grow up to be full grown, they got to get a job. They need to have a job in the church life. They need to be employed. It's not enough just to feed themselves. That's great. That's the baseline starting point. But after they're healthy, if they don't have a job, eventually they got to go do something with their lives, and they'll find something else to do. You know, of course they have a job in the world, but then they'll invest themselves in that. We want to be those who are invested in the body of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So how about, wow, okay. Let's read point one together. To be a healthy member in the body of Christ, every believer needs to know the scriptural way to meet and to serve, to function in the meetings in mutuality, and to participate in the priesthood of the gospel. So on the spiritual side of function, which in a sense, this is kind of the end point. We want to bring people in. We ourselves want to be brought into this, and we want to bring the ones under our care into this. We need to know. Do you know what the scriptural way to be into serve is? Let me ask your neighbor, you know, where does the meeting start? And when does the meeting start? Do you know where and when the meetings start? The meeting start in the morning, in your closet, when you're having your personal time with the Lord. This is the scriptural way to meet and to serve.
Amen.
It's not scriptural to come and to let's see what the program is today. You know, the scriptural way to meet and to serve is, you go to the closet in the morning, you spend some time with the Lord, worship the Father, seek your roots deep, you enjoy the Lord, you come to the meeting, and you bring the meeting with you.
Amen.
What's the content of the meeting? It's what you enjoyed in your closet.
Amen.
And what you enjoyed in your closet.
Amen.
This is the scriptural way.
Amen.
Every meeting is a feast.
Amen.
Every meeting is a potluck.
Amen.
It's a feast of all that we have labored on in our daily life. Did you know that? We need to enter into this.
Yeah.
And we need to shepherd the ones that are under our care into this.
Right.
They shouldn't have the, we shouldn't allow them to have the concept that you just come to a meeting. You just come the first time, it's okay. The second time, after that, no more. We have to shepherd them. That's why we have the first part on life. We need to shepherd them into their closet to have time with the Lord. And when you come to the meeting, you bring out what you have. Okay. Don't get distracted. That's what Matthew's... Anyway, private time. Go into your closet, have a hidden time with the Lord. And then when you come to the meetings, you function in mutuality. You know, right now, I'm speaking and you're receiving, but in a normal church meeting, everyone speaks, everyone receives. Everyone asks questions, everyone answers questions. We play ball together, you know, and that's the mutuality, that's the principle, should be the principle of the church meetings. And we need to be shepherded into that, and we need to shepherd others into that. And then, of course, here is to participate in the priesthood of the gospel, which is to present every man full grown in Christ.
Amen.
So now we come to a full circle, and eventually we realize that what we're shepherding people into is what we ourselves are in. And we're in this. This is our stewardship. And if we don't shepherd someone into this, they will forever remain a child. You know, if we shield them from the priesthood of the gospel,
they will never grow. And actually, we didn't bring this out, but actually having kids is the best way, fastest way to grow. If you want to mature, well, anyway, wait, mature a little bit first. And then, you know, get to a certain point. But having a kid will do a lot for you. If you don't have character, you better pick up some character real fast. You know, so there are all these things, you know. But we shepherd them into the priesthood of the gospel. And then they themselves will grow. And then this is the stewardship. To me, for you. And we bring people into the very things that we are in. We are really running out of time, but I want to touch the last little bit here. Let's read point two together, and let's read this. We cannot neglect the benefit of helping young ones to participate in the campus labor and church services, such as tabling, planning campus activities, cleaning the meeting hall, serving at the Lord's table, ushering, giving hospitality. The involvement in these matters will give them a sense of ownership in the church life. Of course, what we really want to bring people into is into the spiritual, priestly service in the church life, because this is what really builds up the body of Christ. But we realize, you know, in the church life there are also a lot of practical needs. Someone had to set up these chairs. Aren't you happy there are chairs in this room? I mean, it would be very uncomfortable to be sitting in here on the floor, Indian style or whatever, you know, for an hour. I mean, praise the Lord for the chairs. Amen. Praise the Lord for the ones who set them up. Aren't you glad there's going to be food waiting for us in about 1 minute? You know, there's food. Some are prepared. There are a lot of things that need to be taken care of in the church life. And even this, we should not neglect this. We bring are the ones under our care into this. This is an easy way for them to instantly enter into a low level of ownership and realization that I'm part of this. And as they become part of this, they grow in life. Maybe quickly we can have Joyce and Esther testify regarding this. But we cannot neglect this. And actually it's very helpful, even just from the very beginning. You're passing out tracts, you met somebody on campus, bring them into that. Then that club becomes their club. You know, bring them into cleaning the meeting hall. The church becomes their church. So maybe Esther and Joyce, you can just share real quick.
So when I first got to Berkeley, some of the older senior sisters asked me, like, oh, do you want to go one Saturday morning to go cook? And so I said, sure, because I wasn't doing anything else. And so then after cooking, they said, oh, you want to come again next week?
I feel like
and so I said, okay, sure, why not, you know? And then gradually it became like a weekly thing. So every Saturday
you
morning
feel good
we'd
about
go
that?
To, we'd be in the meeting hall cooking brunch for the saints.
I think you touched it now.
And gradually I began to, you know, enlarge my vision of the church life. And I realized, you know, like seeing the saints come faithfully every week to garden, to clean the bathroom, to vacuum or whatever, you know, it really touched me. And I realized, you know, like you see the older saints coming in the morning, like faithfully every single Saturday. You're like, wow, like why do I need to sleep in? I can serve the saints.
Amen.
So, and really for me, like the meeting hall became not just a place to go every Wednesday to, like, you know, and exercise in a spiritual sense. But even like you care for the meeting in a practical sense by, you know, cleaning the meeting hall or whatever. Yeah. And even for me, like, it kind of changed my concepts of practical service. Where, it, like, I used to think that, you know, if you work too much, you'd be like Mary and you'd be caught with the work and not about loving the Lord. And this, oh, Martha, sorry. Like Martha, anyways. But the saints really were a pattern to me that, you know, even when you serve, you can serve in spirit.
Amen.
Love the Lord even if you're doing practical things.
Yeah.
One example of serving the Lord practically but still in your spirit is when we went to Building 8 for our spring break trip. And it was just a really good experience because a lot of times as students, we are constantly using our mind to study and we don't do that much with our hands. But the Lord has given us a body and we can use that to serve Him. Yeah. And so it's just so good spending that week out there laying the pavers. Getting really sore. But afterwards, we could look at the parking lot and say, I put that paper down. And it just gave you a sense of, you know, this is our building, you know.
Right, wow.
This isn't just the building of whoever was working on it, but this really became ours also. Mm-hmm. And it's also when there was also a new one that went on that trip, and that really changed my concept about practical service, because I was just thinking are we sure he's going to enjoy this? Like, we're going to go build. But actually, he really enjoyed that time. And afterwards, he started coming to the Saturday college meeting. So that was also an example of how by spending time working even practically, like, that gave him a sense that this club was also his club.
Yeah.
And that was just one example of a sense of ownership. And then another example I had is that when I first came to the Sisters' House in Berkeley, we cooked dinner on Friday nights for the home meeting. And back at home, while I did go to the home meeting, I didn't really feel like it was my home meeting. Wow. I felt like it was my parents' home meeting. They cooked the food. All I did was show up. So I would just sit there and read, and I wouldn't feel like I could really enter in because I didn't feel like it was mine. But through bringing even just cooking food, bringing it to the home meeting, you get the sense that this is not just the serving one's meeting, but this is all of our meeting.
Amen.
We all need to, like, bring a portion, even physically. And so by bringing the food physically, I felt like I was more able to enter in, even spiritually, and
wow,
more able to feel like this is my home meeting. I can invite my friends. Yeah. And I was more comfortable to do that.
Wow.
So that's just an example of how even these little things like practical service, they're ways for us to enter into the church life.
Amen. Wow. Amen. Very good. Okay, so let's finish with point D. Everybody still has it out. If we take Paul as our pattern in our shepherding, we should expect that there will be a visible, discernible manifestation of growth in life for those under our care. So if we take care of them this way, we should really expect that there would be a manifestation. But remind you from the beginning of the outline, this is progressive, continual, and gradual. Don't expect that next week they will be full grown. You know, don't expect they'll jump into the church life in even one semester. Maybe they will. We just labor. We just shepherd. And the Lord takes care of the growth, but we should expect if we take care of them in this way, they will grow. Okay, let's read the focus, if you still have your outline out. We need to endeavor to shepherd in an all-inclusive way, so that every man can have a progressive experience of the Lord and a full entrance into the church life for his growth and development. All right, maybe just pray with your neighbor for about 30 seconds, and then David will give us some announcements.